Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Do you have a strategy for communicating the gospel? You ever thought of it that way? For communicating the gospel to your family? For communicating the gospel at work? What's your strategy for telling others about Jesus Christ?
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Followers of Jesus Christ are called to share the life-changing truth of the gospel. But for many, that sounds scary or intimidating, and may be easier said than done. Today, we're putting aside our preconceptions about sharing Christ and starting fresh as we learn from Paul's strategy and passion for sharing the gospel. Here's Pastor John Monroe with his new message titled, Strategy for Missions.
When did you last tell someone about Jesus Christ? Not talking about forcing a situation with someone who doesn't want to hear what you're saying. I'm thinking of you graciously telling others in your family, neighborhood, at work about Jesus and what he has done in your life. And to have a strategy, a plan for doing so. Today in our study of Romans, we're looking at Romans 15, where Paul lays out a strategy for missions. He so firmly believes in the power of the gospel that he's not going to rest until everyone has the opportunity to believe. This is a great, inspiring example for us. So, listen now, as we think of the Apostle Paul and his great strategy for missions. Is there anyone here who, if you're honest, would say you're in a bit of a spiritual rut? Spiritually speaking, you're on automatic pilot. So today, as we continue our study of Romans, I want to remind you of the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ. Our mission is not to develop a cozy little club where we meet our friends, although we all enjoy meeting our friends, but rather, from Scripture, it is clear that every authentic follower of Jesus Christ is to display Christ and is to proclaim Christ and to tell others of this magnificent gospel of the grace of God, which has saved us and is transforming us. And that witness for Christ begins in our homes, in our families, in our neighborhoods, at the workplace, and then goes out into the greater world. One commentator said, the church is like an arrow sent into the world to point to the future. I trust you're doing that. I trust you're pointing people to the future, to eternal realities. So often we get absorbed where we are in our present situation, even as followers of Jesus Christ. But the Word of God reminds us that every one of us one day will stand before God. And we are called as the Church of Jesus Christ to tell others the wonderful good news of Christ. And this is what Paul has been doing in Romans. Paul has been reminding us over and over again that the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone. Do you hear this? To everyone who believes. No one is excluded. That's why Paul, among other things, is the great missionary statesman as he travels the world telling others of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is, the gospel works. The gospel works everywhere, in every culture, in every situation. No culture, no attitude, no barrier, no opposition can stop the gospel. For 2,000 years, this gospel, the message of saving faith in Jesus Christ, has gone to the world. We're thankful for people who told us of Jesus Christ. Christ has said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Yes, there is opposition. Yes, there is discouragement. Yes, there is much spiritual darkness. But as those who follow Jesus Christ, we're not discouraged because we have this wonderful message, this treasure of the gospel that God has given to us. And wherever you go, yes, there will be opposition. But this gospel works. And you and I are called to tell people that there is salvation and no one else. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Paul magnificently in this book of Romans has been defining the gospel, declaring the gospel, defending the gospel, and yes, applying the gospel. Because this gospel not only saves our sins, Not only do we receive eternal life, it transforms us. And now Paul, as we come to Romans 15, verses 14 through 21, so if you have your Bible, as I hope you have, open up there, Romans 15, verses 14 through 21, and we see that Paul is now coming to a conclusion. Paul is writing from Corinth to the Christians at Rome and desires to go to Spain. He's never been to Spain, away to Western Europe, far from his native town of Tarsus. He desires to bring the gospel to that needy country, that outpost of the Roman Empire. And he is planning on his way to visit Rome. He's never been to Rome. He didn't found the church at Rome. But before he goes to Rome, he's first to take a collection of money to the poor saints in Jerusalem. And so now in verses 14 through 21, we see his continuing focus on the gospel and his strategy for mission. His strategy for mission. Paul is very intentional as to what he does with the gospel. Do you have a strategy for communicating the gospel? You ever thought of it that way? What is your strategy for communicating the gospel to your family? What is your strategy for communicating the gospel at work? What's your strategy for telling others about Jesus Christ? Now, first, before we think of our strategy for mission, we must underscore something which Paul has done so well. That is, we must get the gospel right. This is one of the reasons I've been preaching through Romans. I think that many of us don't really understand the gospel, and we must get the gospel right. Read with me Romans 15, verse 14. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points, I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder because of the grace given to me by God. That's a real compliment to these Christians at Rome. Paul considers the Christians at Rome to be mature believers. Unlike his letter to the Galatians, he doesn't rebuke the Roman Christians. They appear to have a good grasp of the important truths of the gospel. Paul is grounding them in these truths. He's helping them, and helping us obviously, to work out the implications of the gospel in their personal lives, in the church, in society, in the world. He says here in verse 14, they were full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to instruct one another. They were good people. They were helpful. They had a knowledge of the gospel. They are grounded in the gospel. And Paul longs to be with them for mutual refreshment. Look back to chapter 1, where we saw this. Romans 1, verse 11. He says, I long to see you. He's never been there. I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. Some charisma is the word. That I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. There you see the humility of the Apostle Paul. He wants to have fellowship with the Romans. He wants to encourage them, and he wants to be encouraged by them. And he says here in chapter 15, verse 14, that he is very satisfied that they are able to instruct, notice this, instruct one another. Some translations say admonish one another. This is the Greek word nouthouteo. It is used 8 times in the New Testament. It means to instruct. It means to warn, to admonish, to correct what is wrong in someone, to encourage the person to do what is right and to refrain from what is evil. This is teaching, yes, but is done with a sense of effecting change, to admonish someone, to instruct someone, to warn someone, to correct someone. Now, if you pride yourself on correcting others and find it easy to do, I suggest you stop doing it. If you enjoy going around admonishing people and warning people and correcting one another, you're the very last person who should be doing this. No, this takes humility. This takes great skill. This takes a great love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me ask you, to all of us, do you allow people in your life to speak truth to you? Are you a teachable person? Or when someone comes to you and may correct you, may admonish you, do you get defensive? That's a natural reaction, isn't it? Who are they to say this to me? They're not perfect themselves. And we get defensive. How important it is that we're teachable. Is there a humility? Are they open to this? Is this someone who realizes that they really want to grow in the Lord? And in order to grow, we need to be instructed. We sometimes need to be admonished. That's what Paul does. Paul was great at admonishing. Do you have someone like that in your life? Do you have a Paul in your life? Oh, you think you're pretty high up in spirituality, but do you allow someone to come, a maturer brother, a maturer sister, to speak truth to you, and that you're open to this? Do you have a Timothy in your life? Is there someone that you are helping? You're instructing, you're admonishing, you're helping them to grow in the Lord. It's good to have a Paul in your life. I'm thankful that I had Pauls in my life. I didn't always like what they said, but they were speaking truth to me and continue to speak truth to me. To have Timothys, those that were helping. And also, you're very fortunate if you have a Barnabas in your life. Who's Barnabas? Barnabas is the great encourager, isn't it? And all of us need an encourager in our life. And in this church at Rome, they were good people. They were filled with knowledge and they were able to instruct one another. This was not just the leaders instructing others, but within the body of Christ, how important it is that we can help one another grow in the Lord. And as we see in verse 15, how important it is that we are reminded of the basics of the faith. You and I need to be grounded in the basics of the Christian faith. He says, I've written to you very boldly by way of reminder. They knew the gospel, they had been taught the gospel. But Paul is reminding them, he says, because of the grace given to me by God. He wants them to be deeper in this faith. He doesn't want them to be superficial. He doesn't want them to fall into a cultural Christianity. So, let me ask you, do you understand the gospel? Would you be able to explain the gospel? Someone said to you, you know, your pastor's always talking about the gospel. What is the gospel? Would you be able to explain it, to take the word of God and explain it to them? Have you received the gospel? Have you believed in the gospel? Are you being transformed by the gospel? As we've studied this book of Romans, has there been a change in your life? Are you becoming more and more like Jesus? And Paul says here, I've written to you very boldly by way of reminder. Paul was a very courageous speaker, wasn't he? He refused to stop preaching the gospel. I've been reading and rereading the book of Acts. And this is one of the things that I found so encouraging about Paul. He could be stoned, he could be imprisoned, he could be persecuted. And he goes to another town, and what does he do? Lick his wounds? No. He's again in the synagogue. He's again in the open air in Athens, preaching the word. He's able to do this because of the grace of God. It's not easy to preach these truths, is it? I haven't found always preaching through this book very easy. There's some difficult passages. There are some truths presented which fly in the face of our culture. But I thank God for His grace. I also thank God for you as you have received these truths of the gospel, that you would be strong in your faith, like the Romans, that you're filled with goodness, filled with the knowledge of the gospel, and able to instruct others. Now, Paul then, in the remaining verses, I've summarized it in giving five principles of missions. Paul is a great apostle to the Gentiles, and he's writing with apostolic authority to the Romans. Now read with me then in verses 15 through 17, where we will see that missions requires, first, a divine commission. He says, on some points I've written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given to me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. Missions requires a divine commission. Paul is commissioned, look at it, verse 16, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. That's what he was given on the day he was saved, or just after he was saved, in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Here is Ananias saying of Paul, the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." God sovereignly chose this man who persecuted the church, who hated Christ, who hated Christians, who wanted to kill them, who wanted to imprison them. God miraculously saves this man, then called Saul, later to become Paul, and he is appointed, called by God, given this divine commission to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And here, Paul, in verse 16, refers to it as a priestly ministry. Have you thought of that? This is an act of worship. When we share Christ, when we tell others about Jesus, we're acting, in a sense, as priests. And the fact that Paul is a ministry, is called to minister to the Gentiles, should not have been a shock to the Jews, as the Old Testament is full of this, that this message that God is entrusting to his people in the Old Testament, the Jewish nation, is a message not confined just to them, but they are to be the light, they are to be the center of it, as they tell others, including all of the nations, the importance of faith in the living God. And Paul regards the Gentiles, verse 16, as an offering. He refers to the offering of the Gentiles, that it may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. He's commissioned by God to be a minister to the Gentiles. You say, well, that was Paul. He was a special case. He was an apostle. I understand that. But here is the principle. The risen Christ commissions each one of us to go with the gospel. Go and make disciples of all the nations. That's a divine commission, not just given to apostles, not just given to missionaries or to pastors, but a commission given to every follower of Jesus Christ, that God has saved you. Think of this. And God is transforming you, and God's call is on your life and mine to go and tell others about Jesus. And every follower of Jesus Christ is a priest. This is a priestly exercise. We enjoy coming together as we do now to worship God, but then we are sent to be witnesses for Christ, whether it's in our own home, whether it's that boy at school, whether it's that man in the office, someone who's part of your team whoever it is, and you are given, and I am given, this divine commission to tell others about Jesus Christ, sent by Christ. So mission requires a divine commission. Secondly, it requires a divine message. Verse 16, he says, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of what? Of the gospel of God. Notice that this message is of divine origin. We've seen this repeatedly in Romans. This is why we are faithful in preaching the gospel. What about the message of pop psychology? Five reasons to raise kids with smiling faces. How about that? How about a message of prosperity? That's a popular one. It seems to work. Those who say it have private jets and multi-million dollar homes. Those who propagate it seem to live in luxury. A message of positive thinking. A message that is very entertaining. A message that is in keeping with the times. No, says Paul, this message, the gospel, is the gospel of God. He said that right in chapter 1. The gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ. And Paul has, in this wonderful epistle, has given an inspired exposition of the gospel. Justification by faith alone. That we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And that this gospel, which justifies me before God so that as a guilty sinner, I'm acceptable to God, is also a gospel which is transforming me. Why? As he said magnificently in Romans 6, 7, and 8, we have the Holy Spirit within us. This divine power. This is a message that works because it's a message not coming from man. It's the gospel of God. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? That the gospel is a treasure. And when you speak to people, don't just talk about praying to God. Most Americans pray to God, they say. This is the message of the gospel concerning Christ and Christ crucified.
You're listening to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the first half of a message titled Strategy for Missions. Now, to help you make the most of our current study in Romans, John has prepared a special resource to help you personally engage with each passage we cover in chapters 12 through 16. It's a helpful guidebook with insightful discussion and thoughtful prompts to help you understand and interact with this foundational book. With clear explanations of Scripture, personal devotions, and even verses to memorize, this book is a wonderful resource to use again and again as you go deeper in your own study of God's Word. And this unique study guide is completely free to download or request by mail. Request your copy of Romans, The Transformation of the Gospel, online when you visit our website at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. You'll also want to sign up for our monthly email list to receive a personal update on the latest ministry news from John. Signing up is quick and easy when you go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. Here at The Verdict, we're committed to sharing the truth of God's Word and the good news of Jesus Christ every day, everywhere we can, as we encourage others to trust and follow Him. And to do that, we rely on the generous donations of faithful listeners like you. You can join our efforts by giving a gift today at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Take a minute and ask yourself when you last told someone about Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about being pushy or argumentative, but I am challenging you to look for open doors of opportunity to tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. Remember, the gospel is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel is for everyone without exception. So, we must get the gospel right and share this life-changing truth.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.